Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's good to see you. It's good to be here today and to worship the Lord on this day. He's been mighty good to us, and we certainly want to honor him for that today. Before we begin worship, let's look at a few announcements. You see, there are many listed. Ladies Auxiliary Quilt Project, Mondays 9 to 12 to support the veterans. Bible study the 15th, Thursday, 10 a.m. Ladies Auxiliary meets Sunday evening the 18th at 4. Deacons the 20th. And choir practice the 21st at 6:30. Church boards and have your nominees ready by the spring meeting. Get those to nominating committee. And anyone interested in using the facility, see Donna. Her phone number is listed there. Do we have any other announcements? We have a card. It says, "Dear church family, I'm very appreciative to my church family for your prayers, cards, calls, texts, food, and visits. Having a strong, supportive church makes this journey easier to go through. I'm looking forward to return to church, hopefully, when the treatments are done, and I return to Duke March the 21st. So please keep that date in mind. I really miss everyone. I love you all. Please continue to pray for me and my family." It's got Ephesians 1:16. "I've not stopped giving thanks to God for you. The Lord works through wonderful people like you. With love, Greg." Continue. Let's pray for Greg right now. Lord, we just lift Greg to you. And we just ask that you would anoint him right now, that as we worship and we feel your presence, that he too would feel your presence rest upon him. Your word tells us that you sustain us when we're sick, and that you restore us, and that you're our God who heals us. And there are times of suffering, but joy comes in the morning, and we place our faith and our trust in you. So minister to him, God, as only you can, through the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit. Rest upon his family, strengthen them, encourage them, and just hold them in your hand. We give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's begin worship. Together, let's read responsibly the call to worship. Oh, give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name.
Make known his deeds among the people.
Sing to him, sing praises to him.
Tell all his wondrous works.
Glory in his holy name.
Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
He is the Lord our God, and his judgments are in all the earth.
He remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for a thousand generations. Praise the Lord.
Lord God, we praise and worship you and exalt and lift your name this morning. We are encouraged as we are reminded that your word remains for thousands of generations, for time and for all eternity. As we come to worship this morning, we're not here to be entertained, but to just lift up the name of Jesus, to exalt your name, your righteousness, and all that you do each and every day to give us life and sustain us here on this earth where you've created. Bless all that we do. May it be a sweet sound in your ear from our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's all turn to 372 in our hymnals and sing the first two verses of Our God Reigns. Linda Faye has our scriptures this morning.
Our God does reign.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, the first reading from the Old Testament is from the book of Psalms, the very first chapter. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But those who delight in the law of the Lord, those who meditate on the law, on his law day and night, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They're like the chaff. The wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Amen to that. New Testament. This is looking at Jesus blessing the little children, such a blessing. And it comes from Mark chapter 10, verses 13 and 16. People were bringing their little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I will tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, and he placed his hands on them, and he blessed them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Continue to worship as we pray this morning, or any needs we need to remember as we pray. Amen. We'll continue to pray for you and Harry, okay? Any others? Oop. Okay. All right, back here first.
We appreciate the prayers for Leroy.
Okay. All right. Continue to pray for Leroy. He's doing really good. Thank you all. In, over here. Was that Loretta Moore?
Loretta Morgan.
Morgan, okay.
She's and Joan Faulkner's sister.
All right.
I'll let you know Joan Faulkner.
Any others? Yes.
Keep praying for my husband, Floyd Thompson, and okay. My son, Floyd Davis, which is in Horseshoe Hunting Gold
Storage. Floyd Thompson, Floyd Davis. Yes.
Well, I'd like to be remembered also. I've got a little minor surgical.
All right, we'll pray for you, Miss Shirley. Any others?
Valerie
Jr. Okay. Valerie
Peniel.
Peniel, okay. Daniel. Amen.
He touched hearts and souls, and I thank each and every one of you for your brother. Thank you, but I do thank you all this morning.
Thank you for that testimony, Daniel. God's goodness, His healing power, and His mercy. Any others?
Can I remember Kim Mitchell?
Kim Mitchell. Okay. All right. Any others? All right, let's take this time to pray and remembering these, and also a reminder of the names listed on the back of the bulletin this week as you're praying. And also any needs you might have to get to the prayer team. You can see Pam over here, Pam Braxton, getting that to her. Preferably jot it down on a piece of paper.
Yes.
Because we want to... keep up with these and pray.
Well, I have paper, I can jot it down.
She's got paper, okay? Bring the need, all right? Nothing's too big or too small for God.
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Father God, it is with boldness before your throne of mercy that we come this morning. You've heard these names, and the prayers of your people have ascended into heaven. And even times when we pray, sometimes we're not even sure how to pray. We have someone there to represent us, someone on by our behalf, Jesus Christ, God's Son. And we're just thankful this morning that heaven's attention has been called as we have lifted up many needs and many concerns this morning. We know you have a perfect plan in place. We know that you have a work to be done here among us, your people, and you've provided everything that is needed. We certainly remember these prayer, these times of testimony this morning given to your healing power and your restorative work in our lives. We're just so thankful for that this morning. So as we worship, Father, we just ask you, Lord, to just bless us again with your Spirit. May your Spirit descend upon us. May we feel you as never before, knowing that you're our God who meets our every need, no matter how big or how small. Bless what we do, and may it be a pleasing thing in your sight as we lift and glorify your name, as we sing and preach and pray and give. May Jesus be magnified. In the name we pray. Amen.
Let's all turn to 589 in our hymnal. Stand and sing the verses 1 and 3 of Here I Am, Lord.
Ask you to please continue to be with us, that we put this ask all this in your name, Christ.
Amen. You may be seated. Doxology. Our text comes from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. And you probably have heard this verse many times. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Last week, I mentioned the fact that LifeWay Research, the latest data they have from 2019, indicated over 4,500 churches closed in the year of 2019. The encouraging thing, there were 3,000 new churches started. And it's fascinating to read about those churches all across the country, and even some not far from us, where exciting new ministries are taking place, especially when only a few years ago these churches didn't even exist or these ministries weren't even thought about. On a large scale, you see this in churches like Saddleback Church, which was started in 1980 with Rick Warren, his wife, his children, and one real estate agent in his garage. Today, Saddleback averages 30,000 weekly attendance and is a global force throughout all the world for the kingdom's work. But you also see this phenomenon on a smaller scale in literally hundreds and thousands of churches across the nation and throughout the world. Church plants that were only 5 or 10 years old, and they're carving out a great presence for the glory of God there in their communities where God has placed them. Many of them are reaching 500 or 5,000 weekly, Sunday after Sunday, and throughout the week. And you can see this kind of thing happening in established churches that are more than 100 years old. Churches who have experienced a new breath of life through the ministry and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And they're now engaged in creating something new and vibrant among their fellowship, something that didn't exist there before. Today, God is challenging the church to make something out of nothing. And that's what I want to talk about briefly this morning. Something out of nothing, to go boldly where no one else has gone, and to start works of ministry where nothing exists or has ever existed. And there are areas in this community where this church can tackle this challenge. There are also areas of your life, empty places in which nothing is happening, and where you can tackle this challenge. Church, God is calling us today to make something out of nothing. The verse of Scripture shows how it's done. To commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. So that would remind us that churches that are failing possibly have not committed themselves and their plans to the Lord. There's five words in this verse I want us to look at this morning. I believe these key words will help God's church move forward straight ahead in doing the work that He's called us to do and be successful at it. So the first word we see here is the word commit. Anybody ever heard of that word before? Commit. You like to commit. We're committed to all kinds of things. But many times we're committed to the wrong things. This verse of Scripture reminds us of the right thing to commit to. So there's two ideas about this word commit. The first is the idea of giving it all to God. Now, that sounds so simple, doesn't it? Doesn't it?
Sounds simple.
But it's difficult, you know, because we're sinful, which means we're selfish, which means we want it all for ourselves. And, you know, we might give a little something to somebody or to God, but we really don't want to turn everything over to Him, do we? I mean, really, that's, you know, give God the entire process. Give God the entire thing. Put it all in His hands. And we should be perfectly willing to do that. God has proved He loved us. First of all, He created us. He sustains us. He gives us everything that we need. We live a life of abundance here. And it's all because of God's goodness and His mercy. And He's proved how much He loved us. He gave His Son Jesus to die for our sins. He's done everything possible to prove to us that He is worthy to receive everything that we have. To just give it to Him and say, "Here, God, it's yours." But oddly, we're often reluctant to do this. Sometimes maybe we don't want to commit our work to Him because we're afraid maybe He's not that committed to what our idea is. Sometimes maybe we think we want to succeed more than He really wants us to succeed in that area of our lives. Like we want to pick and choose what we want to do, and we expect God to bless it. We want to tell Him what to bless and how to bless it. And it gives us uncertainty. You know, we're not quite sure. And this uncertainty is usually caused by mixed motives. The question is, whose glory are you most concerned about? Yours or God's? Do you want what you do to succeed so that people will be impressed with you? Or so that people will be impressed with the greatness and the goodness of God? Who do you really want to get noticed? There's a saying, there's no limit to what you can accomplish if you won't concern yourself with who gets the credit. And this is true. Your greatest achievements in the kingdom of God quite possibly won't bear your signature or have plaques. They'll have your mark on them, your sweat and your tears, but maybe not your name. And that needs to be okay with us. Commit your plans to God means you want God to get the glory, not you. The other implication here is the word commit is that you dedicate yourself to the work. You commit yourself to it. come what may. You commit yourself to stick through it, even when the going gets tough. You commit yourself to pay the price, even when the price goes up. The word commit means that you decide to stay as long as it takes for it to succeed and bring glory to God. Now, this is the issue that plagues the church. The truth is, there's only a handful of people who are prepared to make this kind of commitment to the work of the kingdom. Only a few churches are prepared to make this kind of commitment to reaching others for Christ. And I guess the question we should ask ourselves on a scale of 1 to 10, how would I rate my commitment to God's work? Jesus said, with God all things are possible. He didn't say, with God all things are easy. He didn't say, with God all things are immediate. He didn't say, with God all things are painless. There's a price to pay for accomplishing great things for the glory of God. And that price is commitment. You commit yourself to the work. You commit yourself to the work of God. The second key word I want us to notice this morning is the word whatever. Commit to the Lord whatever. This means all that you do. Guess what falls under the category of whatever? Everything. Everything falls under that category. All that you do. And I think this is where church people fall short many times. We try to give our best. We try to commit to Sunday. But that don't seem to cross our mind during the rest of the week. And that's the most important time. Because we're out there in the world where people need to receive a blessing from God. They need to know God. And we need to commit to God whatever, everything, all that you do. Two implications with the word whatever. You can commit both big and small things to God. I've heard people say before, I haven't prayed about this problem because I don't want to bother God. I mean, it's such an insignificant matter. Listen, God don't know the difference between big and small problems. He just handles problems. Amen? There's no such thing as a trivial matter to God. Anyone who would go all out of their way to send their only begotten son to die for the sins of the entire world is not concerned about if it's a big or a little problem. He can handle them all. Because everything that you do is important to God. If you want God to use you, you need to develop this habit that everything you do throughout the day is committed to God. Well, what do you mean, preacher? I'm saying like that place you serve in the church or in the kingdom's work, committed to God. Each day, every single day, ask God to give you the desire and the wisdom to serve in such a way that people are touched by the presence of God when they see you interacting in the world. That hour or so you spend with your family in the morning before everyone leaves to go to work or school, commit it to God. Pray, God, help me, use me during this time to encourage my family to have a wonderful day and to live according to how you have asked us to live. As you drive to work, commit that time to God. Say, God, I will listen and think about the things that glorify you and edify me and bless others while I'm on my way to work. God, prepare me when I get there, because when I hit that workplace, that's the most important time in the life of a believer. When you get to work, you punch the clock, you turn on your computer or pick up your broom or whatever you do to start the work day. You commit that day to Him, because there's no such thing as a trivial job. Every job can be done for the glory of God. Amen?
Amen.
Solomon said, commit to the Lord whatever you do. That means you give it all to Him, the big things, the little things, the major crisis, the minor annoyances, everything you do. The second implication with this word, whatever, is you can't pick and choose. We got any pick and choosers here?
Oh, yes.
We like to pick and choose what we want to commit to and what we don't do and how we do it. But you can't pick and choose with God. You can't say, God, You can use me at work, but you stay out of my personal life. Bless me at work, but let me manage my relationships the way I want to manage them. Give me lots of success, God, but look the other way when I lose my temper. You must give it all to Him. He won't settle for 80%. Speaking from experience, 80% don't work anyhow. It only makes you miserable. When you try to pick and to choose the areas of your life that you'll surrender God, here's what happens. The 20% that you hang on to ends up causing about 80% of your problems. The things you hold back only serve to make you more miserable to the extent that you can't even enjoy the blessings that God gives to you every moment of every day. You ever known anyone who had success at work, but they were a failure at home? You don't have to answer it. Do you think that professional success compensates for the misery they experience at home? Not on your life. When it comes to building a successful life, when it comes to doing the work of God, 80% just won't do it. You can't pick and choose the areas you'll give to God. He requires it all. You know what the word all means?
All.
All. Whatever you do means everything. Third key word that we see here is the word do. Anybody ever heard of that word before? Solomon said, commit to the Lord whatever you do. You know what this word implies? Do is an action word. That's great. Coming from an English teacher. Do is an action word. You ever told your kids to do what I told you to do? And God tells us the same thing. It's time for you to do what I told you to do. Commit to the Lord whatever you do. Action. You cannot experience success in the kingdom of God, and God's kingdom will not experience success through you in His kingdom without doing something. You can't dream your way there. You can't talk your way there. You can't brainstorm your way there. You can't pause to think your way there. You can only do your way there. You get there where God is leading you by taking action. A sign hangs on the salesman's office and it says, remember, nothing happens until someone sells something. It's a reminder that you can have 1,000 people in your organization. But if no one ever gets face to face with a customer, makes a sales, no one in the organization will ever be successful. It's the same with the church. It's the same with you and with me. You know, there's a lot of churches whose stated mission is to evangelize their community and reach people for Jesus and make disciples. But you know what? They're not involved in any evangelistic activities. And probably those 4,500 in 2019 that closed had that as their mission statement. But you know what? They probably never did anything. Maybe they never prayed to God to use them to reach the community. Many churches don't even baptize a single convert in a year. And, you know, if they get any new members, they come from other churches. And neither do they have a system in place for discipling and training young Christians and building future leaders for the church. And many wonder why. What's wrong? Why are we not growing? Why isn't God blessing us? And why is God not moving them? You know what the missing element is? Action. Many talk about evangelism. Many sing about evangelism. But they just don't do evangelism. You can't dream your way to success. You have to take action. Solomon also said in 14:23 of Proverbs, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Think about your life. Are there areas of inactivity standing in the way of accomplishment? Are there areas of your life that feature more talk than action? Make a decision today to do what needs to be done. And that brings us to number four, the word we see there. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans, the word plans, implies purpose, vision, direction, focus. You have an idea of where you need to be. You have an idea about how to get there. Whatever you want to accomplish, it doesn't happen by accident. You don't inadvertently become successful. You don't stumble onto a good marriage and a happy family life or financial security or an effective ministry. A church doesn't grow and become effective by accident. These things are accomplished only on purpose. We have to be intentional. And I challenge you to ask, where do I want to be? Where do I need to be? Where does this church need to be? And how do we intend to get there? For most of us, knowing what we want is very easy. We want to be happy, right? Four people, all right. We want to be successful. If we're not happy, we at least want to be successful, right? We want to be fulfilled, don't we? I mean, we want our family and our marriage to thrive. We want our children to do well. We want our businesses to grow. We want our ministries to reach people. We want our church to be strong and effective. But here's the question. What steps will we take to ensure that that happens? You know, having a goal is just the beginning. But it's useless without a strategy for getting there. A man who raises money for a nonprofit organization said that the greatest obstacle he faces in helping ministries get financial support is that most ministries really don't plan to achieve what their objective is. In other words, they have objectives, but they have no plan to achieve them, and it's hard to get funding for them. They know where they are. They know where they need to be. And they have a mission statement and a list of goals, but they don't have a point-to-point map for the journey they're inspiring to take. Which reminds us, if we want to be successful, we have to have a strategy for getting there. We have to be intentional. We need a plan. That comes from God. Number five, guess what that word is? Succeed. Success. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. We don't measure success the same way other people do. Acquisitions and properties and all of those things have nothing to do with it. Recognition has nothing to do with success in the kingdom of God. Money has very little to do with it, except that success typically brings with it enough money to do what you really need to do when God tells you to do it. In other words, if you're doing what God is telling you to do, money's not going to be an issue. You're going to have more than you can spend. Success can be defined as getting the results God wants you to get. And so for us, Deep Run, success means that we're doing in this community, in the places we frequent in life, we're doing what God wants us to do, and God is getting the glory, and people are being touched and blessed. That's really what success is. Results. We're knowing and experiencing God because we're seeing His greatness in the lives of His people and the people in this community. We can actively see God at working every single day And we know that he's real because we're experiencing the great things that he's doing. To be successful means to be effective in what God is doing and not what I'm doing. Because if it was up to me, I would just do what we did last year, the year before. That's easy, isn't it? You don't have to commit to anything if you just do what you've always done. But to be successful, you have to commit to God to be successful. Now, God don't intend for every church to be a Saddleback church or every mom and pop store to turn into Walmart. But I do know this. I do believe this with all my heart. God intends for his church to thrive. God intends for his church to be effective, and that includes us. He intends for you to thrive in your life and in your relationships and in your work. He intends for you to be effective. And maybe you'll get the kind of results that impresses others, and maybe you won't. But you can be sure of this. When you commit to the Lord, whatever you do, you'll impress God. When you commit to the Lord, whatever you do, and your plans will accomplish whatever he wants for you, and he will be pleased with your efforts. Jesus tells a story about the end of the time. And anybody ever seen a sheep and a goat? Can you tell the difference? I think Jesus knew that, you know, we could do that. We could tell the difference between a sheep and a goat because he said, in the end time, God is going, they're going to separate the sheep from the goats. And what do you mean by that? Well, one group was committed to him. And they said, well, how do you know we were committed? He said, because whenever you fed and clothed the least of the brethren, it was just like you were committed in doing it to me. Come on in. The other group weren't committed to that. He said, when you saw every opportunity, every need to minister and to bring glory to God and to bless others. You didn't do that. You were not committed to it. I got a place for you too. The most precious words a committed believer can hear is, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and that's what God will surely say to you on that day. In conclusion, I challenge you today to look at every area of your life where nothing is happening, because that's the area that God is interested in. God is calling you to make something out of nothing. Maybe you're not involved in any kind of ministry. God's calling you to do something new. Maybe your professional life is floundering. God is calling you to make something happen. Maybe your spiritual life is non-existent. God's calling you to start afresh in a real and meaningful relationship with him. Maybe you're where you were decades ago. God's calling you to know him and to experience him in his kingdom's work. Look at your life. If you see a lot of empty spaces, don't be discouraged. You're ripe for God to do something new in your life. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. God wants to do something new, and he wants to start today. God has shown us in this simple verse of Scripture how to make something out of nothing. How are we going to do that? Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Father, we thank you for your word today, your instruction, your teaching that you've given to us. It is a timely truth. It is real today as it was the day Solomon spoke it, as he spoke it to those people you instructed him to speak it to. May it become real in all that we do. For your kingdom's work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's turn to 713 in our hymnals. Stand and sing both verses of Seek Ye First.
Thank you all for being present, bringing the spirit of worship, and carry that spirit with you out into the world. Remember the announcements. Does anyone have anything to say before we leave?
I do, and I know y'all are getting sick of me, but I got to say this.
Well, get up here where we can hear you.
I think I can do it without that, but you insist. You know, I shared with you last week that God spoke to me the week before, and God said to me, leap year. And I prayed, and I told you that same week that God said to me, leap year, I saw 1 Thessalonians 5:17 about everywhere I went. Pray without ceasing. And then I was looking at an old journal, and I came across this. Prayer is where the action is and should be the main business of the church. And then I ran across Ephesians 6:18 in a devotional last week. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Now, you think God's not talking to me? So, I've mulled it over and I've talked to God, and I'm so excited about the possibility of a leap day of prayer. Now, I can't do it by myself, and I have prayed this week that your hearts will be moved, and I hope that we can do this, because imagine the Holy Spirit moving in us and moving through us if we all prayed all day. Now, my vision is, and I think the Lord's laid this vision on me, that we pray all day on leap day. Not at home, not in your car, right here. Now, I don't mean everybody's got to be here every time, but I've made a list every hour, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And if somebody signs up for every hour, and if several people sign, it doesn't matter. You're not going to be here to visit. You're going to be here to pray. We'll have the bulletin here. We'll have copies of the bulletin, so you'll have this list, and we'll come up with some things you can pray for the church as a whole. Bring your own prayer list. And if you run out of things to pray for, just sit here and say, God bless us. Be with us. Help. Anyway, think about it. Pray about it. Sign up for an hour. And I'm going to tell you how serious I am about this. 7 a.m. says Pam Braxton. That pretty much tells you how serious I am. And I'm excited. I think prayer, and Johnny and I have prayed for some things lately, and those things have come about, and it's just been, if I keep talking, I'm going to cry. Please sign up, participate, just an hour. You can pray an hour. You can be silent, let the Holy Spirit pray with you with sighs too deep for words. Anyway, the list is on the piano with a pen. Thank you.
Thank you for that challenge, Pam. Does anyone else have a challenge? All right. Anybody else have anything to say for me? Father, we thank you for this day and for worship. And it's so good that you created the Sabbath so our physical bodies could catch up with our spirit. You've been good to us and you've blessed us today. Today we want to recommit ourselves as we've talked about commitment. So we pray together as Jesus taught us, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.